Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
It's Dave Moore. I'm on Today FM and I've got Pete Waterman with me. And Pete, there's a show coming to the Borgosh Energy Theatre in Dublin, which I think people are going to absolutely love. It's called I Should Be So Lucky. So it'll give people a hint as to the kind of music that we're going to hear in it. But can you give me the kind of the elevator pitch, the 30 second kind of pitch of what is the show about?
You'll never stop laughing from the start to the end.
Yes.
And you'll go out as happy as you've ever been since 1985.
Wow. That's definitely sold it, all right. So this is a show. It features the music that Stock Aitken and Waterman, of course, are so famous for producing over all those years in the 80s when, oh God, it was just hit after hit. But it is a show about, there's a story in the show that isn't necessarily the story of either Stock Aitken Waterman or indeed Kylie.
Oh, no, it's a wedding that's not a wedding that turns into about 26 weddings. It's just a romp. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be serious. In fact, we just finished in Liverpool this week. And if I could go back to the start of the tour, which was last October, I could take the whole of the audience from Liverpool and put them in the first theatre and bring everybody to go and say, this is what you're supposed to do in a mad musical, because it was mad. I mean, and I'm expecting the same when it comes to Dublin, because, you know, the Irish are big participators. They understand you can join, you know.
Yeah.
We want the audience to be part of the show. And sometimes the audience has been a bit, they always go nuts in the second half.
Sure.
The second half is always wild. But funny enough, the first half has got more tender moments in it.
Okay.
Which got a great reaction in Liverpool because, you know, the crowd are shouting out, dump him, love, dump him. He's not worth it. Dump him. Come on, love, come over here. I'll sort you out. Leave it with me. Fantastic. Yeah.
You'll definitely get that in Dublin as well. And is it true that, like, so listen, I'll just very quickly give people a flavour of some of the songs they're going to hear. So You Spin Me Right Round, Dead or Alive, Never Gonna Give You Up, Rick Astley, Respectable, Mel and Kim, Hazel Dean's Whatever I Do. Is it true though that Sonia's song, which is called You'll Never Stop Me Loving You, that when you heard it slowed down, you had to ask yourself, did we write that?
Obviously I did at the rehearsals. This is before,
sure.
You know, when you have the rehearsals, but before the rehearsals, the actors have what they call read-through shops, you know, where they've got the script and they read through it and they sing the song with a piano.
Yeah.
And it cracked me up. I mean, I was in floods of tears. Mm. It's like, because you think, my God, I never thought of slowing that down. And I was a DJ on Radio City in Liverpool at that point. And that story is about a girl that used to call in every week about her boyfriend. And then his parents had stopped her seeing him. And she rang in this one Saturday morning and said, you know, Tommy or whatever your name is, yeah, you'll never stop me loving you. And I just rang Mike Stock and said, I've got the perfect kid's song.
Wow.
You know, I've got all this on tape of what she said every week. So we'll turn it into a song. I think her name was Helen from Beddingborough. And literally, because we had Sonia, who's from Liverpool,
yeah,
we just recorded it. And then when you see it in this musical, it's like, you realise how tender and how potent the lyric is.
Yes.
We couldn't have done a ballad with Sonia. Nobody would have bought it. So it had to be like a dance pop tune at that point. So when you stand back, even though you wrote it, you're thinking, oh my God, I didn't realise it was like that.
It had that much in it.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's incredible. Obviously, people will know then there's loads of Kylie in it. There is Too Many Broken Hearts, Jason Donovan, but then Kylie's got the Kylie and Jason song, especially for you. I Should Be So Lucky, Better the Devil You Know. And is it true that Kylie makes an appearance in every show?
So the basic premise of the lead girl is a Kylie fan.
Yeah.
And she fantasises that she is Kylie.
Right.
So every time she looks in the mirror, she doesn't see herself. She sees Kylie.
Wow.
So Kylie is the mirror.
Amazing.
So she's talking to the mirror and the mirror's talking back, egging her on. And
yeah.
Giving her strength and telling her to do things. And when I first saw the script, I thought, I'm not sure about that.
Right.
It really works. You know, I mean, ABBA, for their big show, I think they spent $150 million. We spent 50 quid, made this video in the mirror. It's brilliant.
Amazing. Well, everyone needs to get along and see it. It's going to run in the Borgosh Energy Theatre from May 7th to May 11th. So make sure you get your tickets. As Pete says, you're going to walk out absolutely beaming. I've seen clips. It just looks like an unbelievable show. So I should be so lucky at the Borgosh Energy Theatre in May. Let's talk about the career, Pete, because I'm fascinated. Look, before I worked in radio, I was a songwriter, producer. It was what I did before I came anywhere near this place. And writing pop was my absolute dream. I'm just, you know, I'm talking to one of my heroes sitting across from me now. It's a joy to meet you and talk to you. But in terms of like where the music came from in your life, where was that? Where did you start this obsession and love of it?
Do you know what? Every now and again, you sit down and you think, why me? Mm. Where did this come from? Why did I do this? Why did God give me this talent? Why did he give me this opportunity? Where does it fit in? Because that's the question in life, isn't it? You know, particularly as you get to my age, you think, you look back across my life and you think, this is impossible. Mm. You know, kid from a council house in Coventry, it's like, look at this. Wow. Why and how? I come from a very religious family. I mean, very religious family. And church music was really, really part of my life up until I was about 12, 13 years old. Mm. And so I would be in every choir, you know, we would do four services a week. And then I discovered rock and roll in about 1956. And so when I wasn't singing in the church, I was under my bed covers listening to American Forces Network or Radio Luxembourg.
Yes.
I started collecting records in 57 and had a really good record collection by about 1960. So I'm doing local parties. There were no discos then, you know.
Right.
You know, house parties, you go around your mates, you know, you pay, kiss up, what's that, postman's knock and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was asked to go to lots of parties and take my records. You know, we didn't call them DJs, but that's what I was becoming, a DJ. And then in 1962, I went to the Matrix Ballroom in Coventry. And there was a band called The Beatles on and changed my life.
Yeah.
They were on their way back from Hamburg to Liverpool. The night before, they'd been John Lennon and the Silver Beatles. So this was their first ever gig as The Beatles. I cannot overemphasize just how unique this experience was, because I'd never seen anything like it before. You know, it's like four lads that, you know, spoke a completely different language.
Yeah.
Just ordinary guys. But just, you know, stomping it out, it was like, whoa, this is what I want to do. So it was at that point I thought, I can't, you know, I'm not going to be like these guys, they're too talented, but I can play records, because I'd played Mr. Moonlight by Dr. Feelgood and the Interns. And John Lennon had come over and said, what is this record you're playing?
Oh.
So, you know, he then started to look through my record collection. He goes, whoa, where did you get this from? You've got hippie shake. What, you know, and it's like, I've gone, got it. I've got enough knowledge about music that maybe, just maybe, I can do this a part of my income.
Sure.
And so literally, it was that chance meeting with the Beatles and having a pint with them afterwards that I suddenly realised these are four kids from Liverpool. And I think, and I've talked to Paul McCartney about this since, they thought they were on a chance. You know, they might get a year out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I might get a job earning a couple of quid a week. And here we are, you know, 60 years later, we're all still doing it. We all made a few bob at it.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, talk about, you know, the chance meeting that changes your life. That's just unbelievable. Come here, quick fire round before you go. What are you currently obsessed with? I'd imagine the answer is going to be this Railway World Cup. Is there anything else in your life that you're currently obsessed with?
Oh, no, I'm always obsessed with music. I mean, I can't say what, but I'm about to start. I've been talking with my old partner, Simon Cowell, and we're up to doing something in the next couple of months together. I can't say what,
because
it's embargo. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And I'm excited that, because we've been friends for 30 years, Simon and I, I'm excited that he wants to come back to the ground and work back upwards rather than start at the top. He's world famous now, but he wants to get back to ground roots, which is fantastic.
Wow, we look forward to whatever that is. God, I don't know how you're going to answer this because you've already mentioned Simon Cowell, Sir Alex Ferguson, and the Beatles. But who is the most famous person in your phone, Pete Waterman?
Peter Kay.
Peter Kay, good Bolton lad.
Yeah, when my phone comes up Zorro, I know it's Peter Kay. And I instantly start to laugh the minute I see it.
Right.
Because you can't have a conversation without Peter, with Peter that's not, leaves you hurting with laughing, because he's that sort of guy.
Wow. Think back to early days in Coventry. You're about 8 years old. When you were in school, were there lunch boxes? And if you were bringing some food to school, what were you bringing?
Okay, well, I lived next door to the school, so I never had a lunchbox. But I always took to school a piece of cold toast.
Ooh, cold toast.
Yeah, I love cold toast.
And would you enjoy cold toast nowadays?
I still love cold toast, yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah. In fact, yesterday I was doing a rehearsal, and somebody left a piece of toast at breakfast.
Yeah.
And I said, do you mind if I put it? And I put it in my pocket. He went, what are you doing? I said, well, I'll have it for lunch. And he went, it's cold. I went, it'll be colder by 12 o'clock.
That's the best kind. Oh, that's brilliant. And the final question, Peter, and forgive me, it is a little weird, but I ask all my guests this, everybody from The Rock to Pete Waterman. I don't wash my legs in the shower. Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I try to have a bath 3 times a week. Right. I love the bath. I love the bath.
Okay.
Yeah, I love laying in the bath. But if I shower, yes, I wash my legs at the same time.
Okay, that's good to know. Listen, I wish you the absolute best. First of all, with the world record at the weekend, I hope that goes well for you. And then, of course, May 7th to May 11th, the I Should Be So Lucky show at the Borgosh Energy Theatre. Get your tickets, go along. You'll have an absolute ball. Pete, it's been an honour to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Bless you. Thanks very much indeed.
All right, take care.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.